اهلا وسهلا مرحبا.
مركز صحابه اون لاين راديو امباورينج ذا يمه.
ويلكم يا مصطفى. ويلكم.
السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. ريسبكتد لسنرز اوف مركز صحابه ذا فويس اوف اهل السنه والجماعه. الحمد لله. This is the spiritual breakfast, and you know, 8:30 to 9, we have our interview segment as well as pieces, golden pieces of advice from different ulama. So here we have Hazrat Mulana Salman Yunus, Hafidhahullah. Let's welcome Mulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana, hope all is well. How's the weather in Durban?
Alhamdulillah, we had some good rain in the last few days after some intense heat.
Gee.
And today looks a bit clearer and much cooler also, alhamdulillah. Hmm. The barakat of Friday coming, inshallah.
We just, this morning I read a bit of a disturbing message. I don't know how far is Verulam from where you're staying at the moment.
Yeah.
How far is that, Verulam?
It's about... say about 25 kilometers.
25, so that's not far.
No.
And there were just messages going around about the Quwwatul Islam Jamia Masjid. And there it was severe lightning as well. Masjid dome was damaged, broken, electrical fittings, floodlights, all of this. So was the rain just intense for a few days, or what was the real story there?
Well, it before the rain, prior to the rain, so about like 3 or 4 days, we had really hot weather, like a heat wave and hot air, everything. So generally after the day, the system of Allah Ta'ala, after that day, you get the rain and the lightning. So the first day, I know, from the night before, it was thundering and lightning. But shukr alhamdulillah, on our side, there was nothing severe or anything. Then after that day, it was just some heavy downpour we had for 1 day, 2 days, and then on and off. But there were certain areas, like if you look, going to Peter Maritzburg and down, those roads were flooded. And certain areas, like you say, Verulam got hit with the lightning. Mm. So I think there's more isolated areas rather than the entire province itself.
Okay. All right, let's go to our topic. And our topic today is our youth as well. They're looking for a career. And we've seen now about the matriculants, their results will be coming released on the 13th of January. There was all talks about that as well, because the whole complaint was that it shouldn't be released to the public. And there's great understanding in that, because they've drilled it in us, Mulana, and you also, you probably have experience with this in other individuals, youth, who have this fear of failing or fear of, and they even become suicidal. So from this perspective, it's totally unacceptable as well. We say we must not expose all these things, personal issues and that. But here, everything is publicly posted. Everyone can open and see, did this person pass? What's his results? Of course, those who know they're going to do well, they want their results to be published. Those who are on the fence, they don't want the results to be published. And the reason why I chose this topic as well is because to give these people hope, it's not game over for you. As a Muslim, as a believer, as soon as you become baligh, that's the time from now you're supposed to be equipped to go out and earn. It's the favor of our parents. They say, you know what, we'll help you, assist you for many, even years after marriage as well. That's the favor upon us. But our responsibility is to earn from then. But with this whole school thing, you only end up starting to work at 24 because people want to do their honors and all of this. But the career, choosing a career, all of this Islamically, doing things with your hands, this is what you want to stress. Mulana, you can share with us the crux of this, inshallah.
Inshallah, jazakallah for that start off, inshallah. We see how the system of the world has been designed, that a person's majority of his youth is, if you can use the word, wasted, in the sense that he is spending it in the schooling life. He is spending it where the prime of his life, where he got the opportunity, the energy, the talents to now venture out and to go out into the world and make something for himself. Whereas he is stuck behind a system where he is forced to learn certain subjects, certain information, certain knowledge. And majority of it, we know we went through the system ourselves. If not all, majority of it, we do not even use it thereafter.
Exactly.
So we ask ourselves the question again that why are we having to be fed through the system?
Hmm.
And we see that certain countries, other countries itself, that they've realized this. And some examples, from grade 9 or grade 10, now you only choose those subjects. Example, from a 7, 8, 10 subjects, now you only choose 3 or 4 which you know you're going to use in your life because this is where your life is heading towards.
Hmm.
And the thing with the result being publicly announced and for everyone to see and to view is that it's something which they need to do away with. Because like we meet many youngsters and they're not worried really. One is for themselves that the marks, did I get it or not? But what would my family say? What would my parents say? Mm. That before I can even know, sometimes they already know about it. Like we know sometimes an accident happens on the road. And before the family members can even find out that their beloved ones have passed away, news has already spread on social media. And they are finding out from other people. And this just adds to the damage that has been done.
Mm.
So this discussion that has been going around of publicly announcing the marks, I think it's a good discussion and a thing that needs to be done away, that what is the need to put it into the newspapers, what is the need to have everyone's marks known, whereas if you just give it as normal as a normal report, that a person goes to his school and privately he receives it, and when he is comfortable, then he lets the people know whether he did well or whether he did bad, and that is totally up to him because at the end of the day, that is his marks.
Mm.
But as we say, the entire world and a person's entire life now seems to revolve around this matric mark.
Mm.
Did I do well in matric? Did I not do well in matric? And you see 18 years, 19 years of his life is gone, whereas he could have become something by then. If you look at the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, from early tender ages of 16, 18, they were already leading armies. They were already businessmen.
Mm.
They were already men, you can see. And Islam is such a beautiful religion that we do not have this thing of, if you say childhood, then adolescence, then teenagers, then young adult, and then adult. All these terms have come about in order for a person not to realize that now I am in control of my life. Now I'm answerable for every aspect of my life. So we have nabaligh and baligh. You are either a child or you're an adult. And the moment you're an adult, now you are responsible for yourselves. So much so that a male child, that once you become baligh, now it is up to you even that you have to earn your own livelihood. You have to make your own way out. But it is through the kindness of our fathers, our parents, our mothers, that they still take care of us. They still look after us and they see us through the different phases of our life. Till now, we are finally financially stable and that we are mentally understanding of the world around us. So students at this time, I know when we were getting our matric results, and sometimes you do not really realize what goes through a student's mind, that how much reliance he put onto these results, and more so family pressure, parents pressure that is on him, that you better have done well, because all these years of fees, all these years of having taken care of you and giving you the best was not for nothing. We want to see the results now. So when we were getting our results, I remember we were out in Khuruj, and there was people with us, youngsters, other friends of ours who we never known before, but the results were coming out and like everyone is interested and excited. And whilst me and my friend, we were just thinking that how many A's we might have got, and I hope I got an A for this subject, an A for that subject. There were others that were just hoping that we passed.
Mm.
We were hoping we scraped it. And to us, that was something we thought like a joke. Maybe they're just making a joke. But whereas when the results came, it was a reality that there are people and many out there that struggle to make it and they hope just to pass. And there are others out there that are aiming for the highest. But let us go down and boil down, inshallah, towards the end. Then why is this focus so much on this result? And as a mu'min, as a believer, as a person in this world, how should we look at it and what ways can we go forward? Al-Bu'ana has already mentioned that our lives are not dependent on this here. And Allah Ta'ala is in complete control, that a person can get the best results, but his life can never become successful maybe. And a person, on the other hand, maybe he failed. But Allah Ta'ala has decreed success for him thereafter. So we have to look at it from an Islamic perspective, and we have to freshen the minds of our youngsters coming up that do not put your reliance on this. So as we know, I often give this advice to many students who are in school, that every day when we wake up to go, then we should make one intention at least. And this intention is, oh Allah, I'm going to learn so that I can earn a halal livelihood. And if every day we make that intention, then you'll see every moment of our learning will become a form of a sawab for us, because we are learning something so that one day we are able to learn, earn a halal livelihood, live in this world, not as a beggar, live in this world where we are able to be an asset to our parents and to the others who might be dependent upon us. Now, as Muslims, we see now the whole boycott list that is going on against Israel. And a person looks at all those products and he thinks to himself, so many products out there has to be boycotted. What am I left to use then? And this should make us ponder as Muslims. And this should make us ponder as youth. That let us be that youth. Let us be that future. Let us be those pious Muslim professionals that come out so that we do not have to rely on the kuffar. So that we can be pious Muslim professionals in whatever field. But we are pious, we are Allah conscious, we are Allah fearing. And we can have those things in the world that our Muslims can use. And we know we are not at one bit contributing towards the efforts of the kuffar. So this is very important, that we can contribute to society at large. And more so, we can contribute to our Muslims, that now if something has to happen, we know that whatever we are purchasing, whatever we are buying, whatever we might need, is coming from Muslim hands, and it is not at all aiding the kuffar in any way possible. So while a person now, generally in grade 11, he has to decide on his subject, in grade 9, he decides on his subject, and in grade 11, thereafter, he applies with that CAO form, he applies to all the various universities with the options of what he wants to study. And then in matric, you await these results now. Universities also await these results to see your acceptance, whether you are accepted to study based on the results coming forward. So what are some guidelines that we can use in determining what should we study and what shouldn't we do? Firstly, as always, Quran and Sunnah, the Sharia is our guidelines. So any of those careers that is not in accordance and in line with the teachings of the Sharia, then as Muslims, we have to leave it out. No matter how glamorous it might look, no matter what salary it might offer, but those things that are not in conformity with Sharia, then you have to leave it out. Many times we ask the youngsters in maktab, in madrasa, what you want to become? They'll say soccer player, cricket player. I'm saying, I will want to say, even and become a music star, a Hollywood star. So these are things that have been drilled into the minds, have been subjugated into the minds of our youngsters, which we have to work and get it out to make them realize that these careers have no benefit and these careers are not in the teachings of Sharia whatsoever. Rather, choose something that will benefit you and benefit society at large. When we are choosing that career, firstly, always make sure it's in conformity with Sharia. Secondly, let us see of the potential of that career. There's no use choosing a career. We know we are living in South Africa, for example. And now we are choosing a career that is not found in South Africa, or the job-wise or the opportunity-wise is very, very low. Now, no matter how well it might look and no matter how fancy the title might seem, but am I being realistic? Am I being realistic in saying that I want to become such and such person, whereas now when you qualify, then there's no job opportunity whatsoever. And even to go to another country now, it's still the same, because maybe what we have studied now, we have to do a new test, a new entrance exam, and the cost involved in all that there is very, very difficult. So be very realistic when choosing it. Sometimes whatever most people might be doing might not be the best. We see now very often, we see that plumbing, electrical, the skills trade, all those things are much in demand, which people don't really consider. People only consider those things which we have to study at the university. Whereas these things that can be done at a technicon, or these things that can be learned by following others and being with others, that there is much more in demand compared to those where a person has to apply and come to a job. So be wary of those which potential a person might have for him thereafter when he finishes studies, there is good potential that he will have a job, inshallah. Secondly, once we have our minds made up that, you know, these are the possible options that I can be doing and I'm interested in doing, then let us try and job shadow, as they say. Let us find out, let us go to a person who is involved in this here. Because sometimes on book value, or we read the articles, or we do some research, it's not the same as what a person is really doing it on the floor. Like you see, sometimes a person gives a syllabus and he says, these are things that need to be done. Whereas a person on the floor, he knows exactly that these are not realistic things. What you're telling me to do in one day, in 2 days, it cannot be done because of what is the reality on hand. So let us see how we can follow those people, be with them, ask them, and query from them further what to do. So those are some aspects in which we can get guidance in how to choose our career and where to go forward and how to make sure that this is the right way for me. And we do not need to feel that family pressure. Sometimes, you know, as youngsters, you feel my entire family are doctors, my entire family are engineers, are ulama. Now, I also have to follow that there. Whereas if you ask that youngster, I have no inclination towards becoming a doctor. For me, it's something else. I want to become a teacher. So they say, do what you love and love what you do. If we follow this here, then you'll see that not a single day in your life you'll have to feel that I am working. Why? Because you're going towards something which you enjoy. So always remember that doesn't mean we come from a certain family professional, then we have to stick to that. Yes, many a times it does go in that because a person is exposed to it and he becomes likened towards it. But sometimes there is that case where a person does not want to go into that, what the family circle is. He wants to venture out in which he really likes, in which he enjoys. And we should discuss this with our parents at large. And this comes to our next aspect is, now once we have our options, the main thing we should do now is mashwara. That now my results came, I have been accepted to such and such universities. Example, I am staying in Durban. Now I've got accepted in Cape Town, Johannesburg, and in Durban also. Now these are the things I got accepted for. So make mashwara with your parents and make mashwara with people of knowledge. Why we say people of knowledge? Because now you want to become a mechanic, example, and you're going to make a mashwara with a doctor. It does not gel. It does not make sense. So many times you want to make mashwara with people who will give us the answer we want, whereas we should make mashwara with the people who will give us the answer that we need. So when we have this now, our options ready and available for us, make that mashwara, and that mashwara is so important. In mashwara, there is barakah, there is khair, there is guidance, and Allah Ta'ala has spoke about this in Quran. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has emphasized this in ahadith. So let us make that mashwara, and we'll see maybe certain aspects which we never consider, certain trail of thought, certain lines we never even think about. Now, with mashwara of others, it'll all come to the fore, it'll all come to light, and we'll be more better clued up and more better equipped to make a more better decision and a more correct decision. Once that mashwara is done, and now we have a clear understanding that this is where I really think I should be going, or these are my one or two options that I have left, which I think should be decided upon. Now we turn to the last step, which is istikhara, and we make istikhara for this guidance from Allah Ta'ala. And why this is also so crucial is that our minds are limited. We cannot see what's behind this wall. We cannot see what's behind us ourselves. So our vision, our mind, our wisdom is very, very limited. Whereas the guidance of Allah Ta'ala, there is no limit. And Allah knows everything, the hidden, the unseen, what's going to happen 10 years from now, what's going to happen till we die. Allah knows best. So this istikhara is very crucial in getting this guidance from Allah Ta'ala. And when this guidance from Allah Ta'ala comes, when that inclination of the heart appears, now this is what I should do, then it is very important that we follow it. Sometimes it might not be in conformity with our nafs. It might not be in conformity with what we wanted even. But understand well that the person, the being that is guiding you, is the same being who is in charge of your entire life and the entire world. So he is guiding you in a way that is better. So mashwara and istikhara. Once that is done, inshallah, then we go ahead and we go forward with whatever career, with whatever job we want to do. And Allah Ta'ala will grant us barakah, Allah Ta'ala will grant us safety, and Allah Ta'ala will grant us afiyah in that method. Once all that is done now, sometimes we'll see there are certain other concerns. So the main thing we should keep on doing every day is dua. Dua to Allah, you guide us. Oh Allah, you open up the way for us. You make it easy for us. Dua to Allah Ta'ala changes everything, and this keeps us connected to Allah. And very, very important also is to make shukr to Allah. So Allah, you have blessed me with good marks. Allah, it was you that does it, wasn't us. Allah, you gave me the intelligence, you gave me the knowledge, you gave me the know about, you allowed me to write correctly, you allowed the universities, you allowed all these people to accept me, you allowed me to be in such a position that I'm able to go and study. We know the fees of the university in today's times. We know how difficult it is to study anything. So you gave me this opportunity, you provided the means for me. So to make shukr and thank Allah Ta'ala more and more, more and more. Sometimes a person is forced that, you know what, he's in such a position in his life that I just have to go and find any job. But Allah, you've given me the opportunity to choose where I want to go and work, what I want to go and work. So dua and shukr to Allah Ta'ala is very, very important. As we said always, that whatever we do in our life, whatever our career might be, whatever our job might be, it must be within the parameters of Sharia. Regardless how much money it might look like. But if it is not in the parameters, in the guidance of Sharia, in conformity to Sharia, we'll see no barakah. And that is crucial in anything we do, the barakah that Allah Ta'ala puts. And what is barakah? It is getting the maximum done with the least. A simple example, we see if we go with our grandparents' time, where they, one person was working with a very, very minimum income. Yet there were so many, 7, 8 children. Every one of them were fed. Every one of them were happy. Every one of them got married and carried on and became something in their life. With little bit, one person working, a simple life. And in today's time, we see that the entire household is working. 4, 5 people in that household, all are working. But still, at the end of that month, then they cannot find means to meet the bills of that month. They're still owing, they're still expenses. This is what we call the barakah that Allah Ta'ala has put into that wealth. It comes through following the sharia. It comes through earning a halal livelihood. Now, very quickly, one very misconception which students often ask, you know, they're thinking now, when it becomes such and such in our lives, but that's going to bring in so much of money, inshallah. But isn't money bad? This is a misconception that many people have, that they think money is bad. Whereas money is according to how you utilize it. Wealth is according to how you utilize it. So wealth in itself is not bad. Yes, if you utilize it incorrectly, with that wealth you can do many, many haram things and you can get involved in many things. But as long as you utilize it correctly, there are so many Anbiya alayhi salam, so many Sahaba radiallahu anhum who are wealthy, and they utilize that wealth to purchase the akhirah. They utilize that wealth to help society. So when we become something in life, then remember that Allah has given me this wealth as a test. Let me see how I can utilize it to build my akhirah, how I can utilize it to help my community and the ummah at large. And as we touched on at the beginning of the show, that we have the thinking that I have to get this mashriq, I have to get this result. This comes from an incorrect iman and yaqeen. And as parents especially, from the time the child is going to school, we have to correct that iman and yaqeen. Why? Because this is the common narrative that is given. Study hard, work hard, get good results, get a good job, become wealthy in life, and you'll be successful and happy. That is the narrative that is given, and that is totally against the doctrine of Sharia, against Islam. That the iman and yaqeen should not be placed on any of our studies. It should not be placed on any of our degrees. It should not be placed on any job. There are so many with big degrees but can't find job. Whereas there are so many with no degrees who do not even know how to read or write, yet they are multimillionaires. This is the system of Allah Ta'ala, that our iman and yaqeen must only be trusted in Allah Ta'ala. Very quickly, one short story. There was two friends who finished school together. One became a professional and one became an alim. And many years down the line, they met up again. And they started talking. And this friend told the alim, make dua for me. He says, why? He says, you know, I studied, I became an engineer, but I can't find a job. And because I can't find a job, I'm still living with my parents and I can't get married. What should I do? So this alim gave him one very, very beautiful advice. He says, you need to make istighfar. He says, but especially istighfar. And what istighfar? I need to make istighfar that, oh Allah, I am sorry that I relied on my degree to find me a job. And I never rely on you only and you alone. That I rely that my certificates will get me something. Whereas Allah, you are in full control. So we have to turn to Allah in total reliance. That even though I might be accepted now or something, or I might have good marks, even my marks might not be favorable. عَسَىٰ أَن تَكَوُوا شَيْءًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْءًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala highlights this aspect in Quran, that perhaps you love something, but it is bad for you. And perhaps you dislike something, but it is good for you. So many people, maybe if they had gotten good marks, they went to, who could have went to university, but the iman would have been a danger, they would have lost the iman. Allah Ta'ala to safeguard the iman, never allowed them to get the good marks. But Allah Ta'ala still opened up the way further from them. So whatever result comes our way, remember this is the decree of Allah. As a Muslim, as a mu'min, we do not become despondent, we do not become depressed. We are happy with the decree of Allah, that Allah who is in control and the plan of my entire life, then He has planned that this point of my life, this is what could be the outcome. And let me trust in Him. So whatever phase of our life we're in, if we always trust in Allah Ta'ala, then we'll see that nothing will bring us down and everything will only open up more and more for us. And lastly, one final advice, inshallah, for those that will be going out, going to study, and those that are looking to study, keep ourselves in the company of the pious. We know the challenges out there. We know we might be going to a new town, a new city, a new place which we are unfamiliar with. And we might get carried away with the effects and the environment of the place. But keeping the company of the pious person who we can talk to, who we can have some advice, who we listen to their bayans, who can guide us, this would be a very, very, very crucial factor in protecting our iman, in keeping us guided and letting us stay focused on what we actually went for. So we're going to study, but we're not going to play. We're not going to have a party. Rather, we are focused that my parents have sent you here for something. And now when we make it big, inshallah, do not forget those parents who sacrificed everything for us in our youth, who sacrificed everything to give us the best so we can have the best. Now it's our turn to take care of them and not to forget them now when they are now more reliant and dependent on us. So these few words, inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala make all those youngsters, all those youths who are looking forward, make them successful and open up their ways for whatever is best for them. And remember, Allah Ta'ala knows what is best for us.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana Salman, for these pieces of advice. And we appreciate it, inshallah. Make dua for us. We'll have you next week, inshallah. We'll discuss later. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Inshallah, this comes to the end of this program. Remember, important points were prepared and mentioned by Mulana Salman. And of course, we should also take into consideration the pieces of advice from our particular seniors of attending universities, personal experience too. You should never ever go to these places. You should, what Mulana Salman also is trying to say, that when you are trying or you are looking forward to study, then our seniors tell us that do it distance studying. Now you've learned this whole thing in the whole COVID, that you can do things from your home. You don't need to attend that environment. Then do what education you are learning. That too also has to be 100%. You cannot accept or fall in the trap of whatever they're promoting as well. So you have to see, sift out. For this, you need Suratul Kaf. You need pious people to help you, assist you along the way. But universities are a no-go zone for any mu'min. No mu'min should enter these brothels. Go and see how much of filth takes place there. You lose your modesty. We saw with our own eyes previously, girls, females who were dressed with modesty, they wouldn't want to speak to a male. Later, they are running after and jumping on males. So this is where you can lose your morality and you become immoral. When you become immoral, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, narration of Bukhari Sharif, first na'ma shay, do as you please then. So what is meant is distance studying in this. And as well, remember hifz, all of this, these are also avenues to goodness. So parents should encourage their children in this regard as well. You know the verse, it is verse, end of verse 2 and 3 of Surah At-Talaq. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever fears Allah, Allah opens a way out for him and grants him sustenance from sources he never ever imagined. This is a reality. Allah is saying this. So taqwa must be your dress code. Taqwa must be your mindset. Taqwa must be everything before choosing any career. Consult the pious and see where there's a niche in the market to produce something that is pure and halal. This is something that is what they call niche market. So you can look for that and produce it and become, do something with your hands. Allah grant us barakah. Allah make it easy for us. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Ahlan wa sahalan marhaba.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio. Empowering the Ummah.